grazia pena. Maria Dominus tecum.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to Alive, and this is Claire. Thank you once again for joining me on Alive. Oh my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Now, just to confirm, Alive is a Catholic program. It is very much a Marian program. We do the apparitions of Our Lady. It is very much about divine mercy and God's mercy, and we can enter that door of mercy before we have to enter the door of justice. And of course, it is pro-life. So that's a means that I am opposed to abortion. So, okay, I ended last week's program by saying that I thought somehow that Donald Trump would still be president, and we have seen yesterday in the States that Joe Biden was inaugurated as the president of the United States. So I just want to look at, from a Catholic perspective, some of the 17 executive orders that he wrote yesterday. And one of them, as a Catholic, we need to look at very closely, because it will affect Catholics and Christians and all people all around the world. So what Joe Biden wants to do in his first 100 days is to vaccinate 100 million citizens of the United States. Now, even Pope Francis has said that we must all be vaccinated. However, you have other Catholic prelates, for example, Bishop Athanasius Snyder, who has said Catholics cannot take the vaccine. And the reason he has said that is because the vaccines are made from cell lines from aborted babies. Now, I know they call it fetuses, but I think you have to be very clear on the language. These are aborted babies. When you find out that a woman is pregnant and you congratulate her and you talk about her unborn baby, you don't talk about her unborn fetus. So this is just silly. Now, last week I read on a LifeSite News article that, and also a medical article, that these babies, the cell lines, they are born by cesarean section. But to take the cell lines, the babies are actually still alive. And according to the article, they need the kidney cells. And the babies have the kidney extracted without any anaesthetic, because apparently the anaesthetic will damage the cell lines that they want. And they have to come, you know, from a baby in this way. And so I have to ask, what has happened to us as a humanity where we think that this is acceptable? That is, the death of unborn babies to keep the rest of us alive. Now, make no mistake that if we take this vaccine, we are complicit in abortion. And I certainly do not want to be complicit in abortion. Now, there has been huge pressure all around the world to take the vaccine. Now, my friend's brother is in the UK, and he rang my friend at the weekend, and he's very, very concerned because his firm has told all the employees that if they do not take the vaccine, they will lose their jobs. Now, you know, talk about the vaccine won't be mandatory. In fact, Jacinda did say last year the vaccine won't be mandatory. However, there could be work and education consequences. And this is actually what possibly could happen here, that companies actually, through their own volition or perhaps from pressure from the government, are making this stipulation. 2 days ago, I saw that there was a UK cruise line coming out and saying that no one can book a cruise on their ships without proof of vaccination. Now, there was a huge backlash yesterday, so they have shut down their Facebook page, etc., and gone quiet about that because the backlash was very quick and very severe. Now, there are some countries around the world that are even recommending you wear not just one mask, but two masks. And the manufacturers of the vaccines have said that they are safe and effective, 90 to 95% effective. But actually, what does that mean? Now, if you dig down into their own literature, you will see that for them, effective means it produces antibodies. Now, safe for them, it is already written into all of their contracts that they have no liability whatsoever. So, do they have any incentive to make them safe? Now, so they produce antibodies. That does not mean that in the literature it says this, that you won't get the virus, you won't get sick, or have to go to hospital, or may even die of the virus. That is not what the vaccine means. And they have even admitted that people may need to have this vaccine every 6 months because they're not really sure how long the immunity will last, and that we would still need to wear masks and have social distancing. Now, that seems rather extraordinary that, you know, they're hoping to inoculate the whole world and yet we still will need to wear masks, social distance, and we may even need to have another vaccine, in fact, every 6 months. Also, with regards to safety, now, vaccines take up to 10 years to produce, and they need to have this time to do all the testing, and they need to identify any possible long-term problems. Now, these vaccines have had no animal trials whatsoever. They are new, Moderna and Pfizer. It's a novel vaccine, the way that they have made it, RNA, DNA. So this could possibly change someone's DNA. In fact, we are the animal trials. Now, if you look around the world, there are problems. There are 24 people have died in Norway after taking the vaccine. Now, in one New York rest home, we have 24 deaths. They were vaccinated about the 12th of December, and within 2 weeks, they had all their deaths. Now, this is from one rest home, which has approximately 300 beds. So that's nearly a tenth of the people vaccinated have died. Now, the whole vaccine, the whole theory of the vaccine was to look after the elderly and defend the elderly. Well, clearly this is not happening. Also, the UK is warning that if you have allergies, for example, if you use an EpiPen, please don't have the vaccine because many people have had the vaccine and have had very, very severe reactions. Also, the UK is saying that if you are pregnant or hoping to get pregnant, don't take the vaccine. There have also been many cases of paralysis, Bell's palsy, etc., etc. Now, in the UK, I read yesterday that there is a company and they have 200 million, I'm not sure whether it's pounds or dollars, some of the money coming from the US, and they plan to buy up lots of the corner pubs that have shut down due to the COVID-19 measures. And so these are very financially strapped institutions, family-run operations, etc., etc. And there is a theory that they will be brought up and they will reopen, but if you don't have the vaccine, there will be no entry. And of course, these corner pubs around the UK, they are the cornerstone of these communities. It's where people gather, socialise, make friends. This is very, very important to these people. So I think that is a very worrying trend. And I don't usually get on to the whole talk of vaccinations at all, but I was driving here today and on Talkback Radio, Radio NZ, Kerry McIver had been talking about the whole vaccine issue, and there were many, many people ringing in, texting and emailing and saying that they do not intend to take the vaccine and that they think it's just too dangerous, it's been developed too quickly. And so that gave me the idea of actually talking about this on the radio today. It certainly was not my intention, but I thought it's probably very timely, and I think we need to take a step back and look very closely on the issue, and particularly if we have elderly parents and maybe they don't have access to computers and they can't find this information out themselves, and it is our duty as their children to find this information out so that everyone can make an informed decision. So very, very timely, and something that I think that we all need to look at. And of course, from a Catholic perspective, as I said, there are many bishops speaking for it and supporting Pope Francis, and there are just as many speaking against it and saying that Catholics would be complicit in abortion if you took the vaccine. So it is a real dilemma, a real worry, and as a Catholic, it's certainly something that I'm going to give an awful lot of thought. All about 1 second, and for me, the answer is no. I cannot be complicit in this at all. But of course, Our Lady, on many apparitions in Garabandal and Akita, she did say that there would come in the future where you would have bishops opposing bishops and cardinals opposing cardinals. Now, Garabandal was in 1961 for many years. Our Lady appeared there to the four children and gradually just to one, Conchita. And in Akita, Our Lady appeared to Sister Sasagawa and the same message, and that was in 1973. Well, of course, it would have been absolutely preposterous 50 years ago, 60 years ago, to think that there would be any bishops opposing other bishops or any cardinals opposing any cardinals. But much has happened in the church in the last 50 years. And we definitely have a church that is quite divided. Some would say that on one side we have the liberals, who are very progressive and completely moving away from some of the magisterium and dogma of the faith. And then there are the traditional people who want to continue the faith that Vatican II, and up, you know, for nearly 2,000 years, the faith was the same. And then after Vatican II, there seems to have been quite a change in thinking and direction. So that's where we have come to as Catholics. And that's why on this program, I think it's very important to talk about the issues in the world from a Catholic perspective. Okay, we have just come to 3 o'clock, the Divine Mercy Hour. And at this time every week, we just do a shortened version of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Now, you'd have to excuse me when I say we. It's actually only me, but because Gary, that wonderful man, was my co-host for, you know, 10 years, and he was a very, very close dear friend, I kind of feel that this is still his program, and I'm talking on his behalf, and he's always in my thoughts and in my heart. And so I will always say we on this program, so excuse me for that. So this prayer is a wonderful prayer to say for the dying, because our Lord told Saint Faustina that he promised to stand between the dying person and the just God as a merciful Saviour. It's also a great prayer that if you think that you have done so many things in your life that God could never forgive you, just remember he is a God of mercy. Many, many promises with this prayer. Okay, so you don't have to be a Catholic or Christian to just listen along with me as I say this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you have seen the image of the Divine Mercy, which our Lord dictated to Saint Faustina and asked her to have an artist paint this incredible image, it's an image of Jesus, and there are two rays of one is blood and one is water coming out on both sides. And at the bottom it says, Jesus, I trust in you. And this is the whole concept of divine mercy. We must trust in Jesus. And if you have done something wrong in your life, or many things wrong, and you think that Jesus can never forgive you, God will never forgive you, remember, we're talking about the same person, the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that's what Catholics believe in, the Trinity. And that's God the Father, the Creator, God the Son, Jesus, who came down and took human form and became man. And of course, when Jesus rose and went back to heaven, he sent down his advocate, the Holy Spirit, and this is the power that we have. It's like the cool wind and breeze that floats around the world and adds power to our prayers. So, of course, God would never abandon us, and we have the Holy Spirit to call upon, and that's a great comfort for Christians all around the world. So this image is a miraculous image, and if you haven't seen it, go online and have a look at the image of Divine Mercy. It's a beautiful image, particularly the original version. As an artist, I prefer the original version. There is a more modern version. I don't quite like Jesus' face. For me, as a portrait artist, I think the eyes are painted too far apart, and I don't like it. The original version is the one that I really love. It's a beautiful version. Now, if you want to see that version quite large, you can always go up to Mount St. Mary's Chapel in Titirangi, and they have a beautiful large image of that version. And in that chapel, for over 20 years, they have had 24/7, every single hour of the day, they have people in that chapel who are praying, because they have 24-hour adoration. So Jesus is exposed in the Holy Eucharist, in the monstrance. And I go regularly, and it is absolutely, I don't know, what's the word, so motivating. You can be there at midnight, and there will be a couple will come in with their children, and the children are all dressed in pyjamas, but that is their hour or 2 hours, and the children can be, I don't know, the ages between 6 and 10, and they come with their children, they fall asleep in their parents' arms. And I have to say, over the years that I've been going, there is a particular race of children, of people rather, that seem to go so often. They just pop in for 5 minutes, for 15 minutes. They are always there. And do you know who they are? They're the Indian people. They are eerily faithful and, as I said, very motivating, and I just am in awe of them in the way that they have this incredible devotion to the Blessed Sacrament in the form of the Eucharist and our Lord. So well done, Indian community of Auckland. Okay, as always, we have come to the end of our program. Please tune in next week and we will have a little more update. I'm not turning this program into a political program, but certainly I'm looking at what happens in the world from a Catholic perspective, and I think that's very, very important. And as Catholics, we must always have a Catholic filter so that we can see the world from a Catholic viewpoint. So please tune in next week and hear more on the program.